Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Zechariah 14. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we read your word, and especially these prophecies, we pray that you would help us to understand, not that we would know exactly how things are going to work out in the future so we can understand how to best take advantage of things, but that we would understand your great plan a bit more and understand you a bit more and draw closer to you. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Zechariah 14. Look, a day is coming for Yahweh when your plunder will be divided in your midst. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, and they will loot the houses, and the women will be raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the remainder of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Yahweh will go forth and fight against those nations, like when he fights on a day of battle. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west by a very great valley, and half of the mountain will withdraw toward the north and the other half toward the south. And you will flee by the valley of my mountains, because the valley of the mountains will reach to Azal, and you will flee like you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. And Yahweh my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. And then, on that day, there will not be light. The precious things will congeal. There shall be continuous day. It is known to Yahweh, not day and not night. And at evening time, there will be light. And then, on that day, living waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea, and the other half to the western sea. It will happen both in summer and in the winter. And Yahweh will be king over all the earth. On that day, Yahweh will be one, and his name one. All the land will be transformed into a desert plateau from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But it will rise up high, and it will stay in its place from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate, up to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. And they will dwell in it, and there will be no more ban imposed. And Jerusalem will dwell in security. And this will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples that fight against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. And then on that day a great panic from Yahweh will fall on them, and they will seize one another's hand, and the hand of the one will be raised against the hand of another. And Judah also will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected, gold and silver and garments in great abundance. Like this plague will be the plague on the horse, the mule, the camel, and the donkey, and every kind of animal in those camps. And then every survivor from all those nations coming against Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, and celebrate the Feast of Booths. And then, whoever of the clans of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, it will not rain on them. And if the clan of Egypt will not go up and come in, on them will be that plague Yahweh inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. On that day, there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, Holy to Yahweh. And the cooking pots in the house of Yahweh will be holy, like the sacrificial basins before the altar. And every cooking pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to Yahweh of hosts, and all those who sacrifice will come and will take from them and will cook in them. And there will be no longer a traitor in the house of Yahweh of hosts on that day. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. The first 6 chapters of Zechariah had 8 visions. They were a bit strange, but they were mostly connected with the people rebuilding the temple and purifying their lives. Then chapters 7 and 8 were words from Yahweh in response to the question of if they should keep mourning about the destruction of Jerusalem each year. And Yahweh's answer at the end was that he would turn these times of mourning into joyous feasts. But in the meantime, what he really wants is not mourning, but right action, turning from sin and getting to work on building the temple. In chapter 9, Yahweh said poetically that he is against the nations and for Jerusalem. He also announced his king would be humble and victorious. That was the famous passage about riding in on a donkey. In chapter 10, Yahweh said he's against the bad shepherds, the bad leaders, but Yahweh will raise up his ruler from Judah and bring back his people to Jerusalem. In chapter 11, Zechariah acted out the part of 2 shepherds. The first shepherd was one who was only valued at 30 pieces of silver, and the second shepherd was the worthless shepherd who's in it for himself, and the worthless shepherd will be destroyed. Then in chapter 12, Yahweh talked a lot about in that day. He said that the nations will come against Jerusalem for war, but it will actually injure them, and the Jews will look on the one they pierced. The pronoun there is interesting in verse 10. They will look to me whom they pierced, and they will mourn. Then chapter 13 continued saying on that day several times. It started with a well of cleansing and the removal of idols and false prophets. And then it had a poem about the shepherd being struck. And then 2/3 of the people die, but the last third are purified like gold. And now, we come to chapter 14, which is perhaps the most perplexing of the prophecies. Perhaps because it sounds so specific about physical things. It starts with the nations coming against Jerusalem for battle, and it's bad. The city is captured. But then Yahweh fights for them and splits the Mount of Olives to give them a way of escape. There is this strange day talked about that's not day or night. And then living waters flow from Jerusalem, both west and east, and Yahweh is king over the whole earth, and Jerusalem will be great. Then we're told that anyone who's fighting against Jerusalem will have terrible plagues come upon them, and all the wealth of the nations will come to Jerusalem. The survivors of the nations will go worship the king every year at the Feast of Booths, which was at the end of the harvest in the 7th month. Any nation that doesn't go up to worship the king will be punished with no rain. And then everything will be holy. Even the bells on the horses will have "Holy to Yahweh" written on them, which reminds us of the inscription that was on the high priest's headpiece. But now, even an unclean animal like a horse will have this inscription. And it says there will no longer be a traitor in the house of Yahweh. The word there is Canaanite. They were known for buying and selling, I guess. So there is this question if it means Canaanite or traitor. The point, of course, is that it will be holy. And we are reminded of how Jesus kicked those people out of the temple who were selling and changing money in the temple.
And now for a deeper dive.
This chapter is hard because it describes a lot of physical things in a matter-of-fact way, and not really in poetry. And yet, these things are fantastic, and not something we have seen. So either these things are going to happen physically in the future, or they're meant figuratively, or both. I'm inclined to think a bit of both. And I'll explain that by just taking one little element here, and that is in verse 8.
And then, on that day, living waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and the other half to the western sea. It will happen both in the summer and in the winter. Note that it says, on that day, which I believe is talking about the great day in the future, even future for us. But let's talk now about the living waters that flow. If you've been following this podcast for a while, or if you've read through the Bible before, hopefully that sounds similar to something. At the end of the book of Ezekiel, when he describes this temple, he talks about water flowing from the temple east, and the farther he goes, the deeper it gets, until it eventually turns the Dead Sea into fresh water. So that's similar. But here, it says that the water will flow both east and west. And then, in the book of Revelation, we have a similar picture. Water flowing from the throne of God. And the tree of life is growing on both banks of the river. Also, the tree of life gives its fruit every month, which sounds sort of like this water flowing in summer and in winter that's mentioned here. So, which is it? Is it coming from the temple, or from the throne of God, or from Jerusalem? Is it flowing one direction, or two? Yes. The point is that these pictures are here to give us an idea, but not physical details that we have to somehow harmonize. So, will Yahweh physically split the Mount of Olives? I'm thinking probably not physically. But God does make a way of escape. Actually, he's already made a way of escape, in Jesus. We can escape the punishment we deserve by the sacrifice of Jesus. And this living water? Well, John reports what Jesus said in John 7, verse 38. The one who believes in me, just as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, he said this concerning the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were about to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And I'll add, we can have the Spirit now. The Spirit has been given. So, is everything fulfilled from this chapter? Well, I think we have a bit of it now, and more to come, with that on that day. But I cannot be sure of the details. I do know it will be good. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.